Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Let us recite salawat in the holy name of Nur Maulana Shah Kareemul Husseini Hazar Imam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. In this third verse, having looked at the significance of Didar in a mu'min's life, how to prepare oneself for that significant Didar, let us now anticipate the actual glorious day of the Didar and discuss how mu'mins should behave in the presence of the Imam during the Darbar and the Didar. The best way to discuss this topic is to look at a very famous story of our great Fatimid Hujjat Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi. Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi was so enlightened and he was such a great Hujjat that Imam Mustansir Billah had himself written a poem about this great Hujjat, saying that, O my Hujjah, you have reached that peak of knowledge which very few can attain. So this gives us an indication of his elevated position in the Ismaili Da'wah. He has written 800 lectures, which are known as majalis, and he has written a complete divan of poetry. And in his poems, he says about his great desire to see the Imam of his time. I quote, I nurture a hope in my heart to journey to you. It is a hope I've had since I was a child. It is said that he was over 50 years of age when that longing from his childhood was finally fulfilled and he was blessed with an audience. In his autobiography, he has left a moving account of this experience. He writes, I had barely set eyes on him, that is the Imam, when awe overwhelmed me and reverence overcame me. I felt as though I was standing in the presence of the Messenger of God and the Commander of the Faithful themselves, looking upon their very faces. When I fell to the earth prostrate before the Master of Prostration, the one worthy of the submission of all, I tried to speak, to make my tongue intercede with him in the fairest manner by its speech. However, I found myself tongue-tied with awe and incapable of eloquence. When I lifted my head from prostration and gathered myself together, one of those present signaled me to rise. But the Commander of the Faithful, may God perpetuate his kingdom, rebuffed him with a frown. So I neither raised my head at this signal nor gave it a second thought. I remained in the Imam's presence for an hour. I tried to speak, but my tongue could not move to speech, nor utter a single word. Whenever those present urged me to speak, I became all the more dumbstruck, all the more helpless in stammering. And he, may God perpetuate his kingdom, repeated, leave him be, let his awe subside and his wonderment be dispelled. Finally, I rose. I took his noble hand and kissed it, placed it upon my eyes and my breast, bade farewell, and left filled with joy. What an incredible experience that a Hujjat of his stature for 1 hour remained in prostration and without any speech in front of the Imam, because he was so overwhelmed by the Imam's Nuraniyat, by the Imam's luminosity, by the fact that the Imam in his physical presence encompasses the Nur of the Holy Prophet and all the Imams from Maulana Ali right through to the present. That is what a Didar should be like for all Mu'mins. But as we know, this is a very, very difficult thing to achieve, and it needs a lot of preparation, and it needs the sort of knowledge that Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi possessed. But nevertheless, we can all try our very best, because on the day when the Imam does bless the Jamaat with Didar, then there will be thousands of murids. There will be a lot of activity and excitement and hustle and bustle, and there will be quite a lot of pressure, and there may well be stress, and we have to transcend all these other emotions and all these other feelings, and we have to voluntarily, we have to willingly and deliberately create an environment of spiritual calm and peace so that we can totally focus on the Nurani presence of the Imam. And that is not easy, because the Imam is present there in his physical attire. He is present there as a person, a human being. This is why Pir Sadruddin in one Ginan tells us, Ek fikar munivar amane che tamari, manas rupe sahib jano. He tells us that there is one thing which worries him and causes him anxiety, which is that we, the Mu'mins, will think of the Imam as a human being. He is definitely in a body, but his essence is divine. He is the Nur of Allah. He is the Nur of the Prophet and all the Imams. He is the embodiment of that Nurun ala Nur that the Quran speaks about in the Ayat of Nur, which we have been reciting on every important occasion throughout this Golden Jubilee year. But the Imam's physical presence does cause people to lose their focus. I would like to summarize a story here which Dr. Shafiq Virani narrates in his book, The Ismailis in the Middle Ages, and he talks about a certain Khwaja Abdul Masum who went to deliver the religious dues of the Ismailis of Badakhshan to the Imam Zul Fikar Ali, and the Khwaja was granted an audience and received the beatific vision or didar of the Imam. When he returned to Badakhshan, men and women, young and old, they all gathered around him excitedly and said, "He has returned from the holy family of the Prophet." And taking him aside, they pleaded, "Please tell us, what did you behold in that assembly?" He had just begun to try to articulate what he had experienced, because what he had experienced was so sublime that it was not easy to put it into words, when somebody interrupted him and he said, he asked, "Is the Imam old? Is he a youth? Tell us. Perhaps he is a baby in his cradle. Has he a wife and children at home?" The poor Khwaja was completely distracted by such a question, because he had not expected the Ismailis in Badakhshan to ask him such physical questions. He wanted to describe the essence of the Imam. And so in his poem continues by saying, "All the foolish men and women there were abasal, saying oh and ah. What do such people, material by nature, know of the essence of the Imam? There was a man in that assembly, a sage. When he heard this babbling, he reproached them, saying, 'O worthless nightingale, practice not your idolatry with the unique, the sublime.'" So the Imam's physical presence can be a problem for mu'mins if they have not thoroughly prepared themselves. For instance, this is what the Quran says in Surah 7, Ayat 198. Addressing the Prophet, God says, "And if you invite them to guidance, they do not hear. And you see them looking at you while they do not see." In other words, such people could see the Prophet's physical body, but they could not see his real essence. And for us Ismailis, for us, Didar is the occasion when we want to experience the essence of the Imam. Just as Pir Sadruddin in that Bandagi Ginan, which we recite at the beginning of Bandagi in every majlis and during Parolye, Pir Sadruddin says, "Eji Pir Sadruddin bolya, tame sahib jaan jo hazur, a amar padavi to mile, jo antar bhetiye noor." So, yes, the Imam is present, and we should always consider him present. But that elevation, that spiritual sublime place, is only achieved when we absorb his nur within us, when we invite his nur into us, when our souls absorb and integrate his nur into our personality. So that means that we have to have certain attitudes when we prepare for the didargah, for the place of didar or the darbar, which it will be in the context of the Golden Jubilee. For instance, in Islam, there is a concept that one should keep God's house clean, i.e. places of worship like Jamaat Khanas, mosques, etc., should be kept clean. In our esoteric tariqa, we have two meanings to this. Physically, as we know, our Jamaat Khanas are kept spotless by our Safai committee and our volunteers. But at the same time, there's another aspect, that is the spiritual cleanliness. And this spiritual cleanliness is not to do with the place, the space. It is to do with those who enter that space. It is to do with the mu'mins, that the mu'mins should keep themselves spiritually pure by not indulging in any worldly talk, by not thinking negative thoughts, by not harboring distractions and anything which takes you away, your focus away from the didar. So that is essential, that if all the mu'mins who are in the didargah, in the Badramni hall, if they all make a commitment to be spiritually pure, they do not gossip or indulge in any worldly material discussions, then spiritually the environment will be very charged. Each mu'min there has to also make sure that their hearts are not stone-like, that there is no hardness in their hearts. They have to do enough giryavzari and supplication to melt their hearts. Because, as we know from nature, if the ground is hard and if the spring shower comes, which is so beneficial, but the hard ground cannot absorb the blessing of that shower. In the same way, if our hearts are hard and they are very closed, then when the Imam showers us with his nur, with his blessings, we will not be able to absorb those nurani showers. We should continue our zikr and our giryavzari throughout the intizari, the anticipation program, and whilst we are waiting for the arrival of the Imam. We should turn inwards, as Pir Sadruddin says, that we have to actually see this nur within ourselves, antara betiye nur. And we should also feel that we are surrounded by our spiritual family, that all the Ismailis who are there would all have the same longing and yearning, and they will have come with their hopes and prayers, and collectively we are the nafse wahida, we are the single soul, and we have all come to behold our spiritual father and mother. When we are all on this same wavelength, then the didar ga will have that positive charge environment, which will be very enabling for us to receive a powerful didar. And we have also got to make sure that we prepare ourselves to listen to every word of the Imam's Farman, because the Imam's Farman is Nur, and his words are going to be very important for us and for our future generations. So we have to listen, not just here, but to listen very carefully to the Imam's words and the way he expresses them and where he puts the emphasis. And having listened to that farman, we have to internalize those farmans. We have to pray for a complete spiritual reawakening, and then also make a commitment that from the day of the Zahiri Nurani Didar onwards, we will continue on that path to attain higher and higher spiritual elevation, so that we can also have Batini Nurani Didar in our physical lives. I want to finish by a verse from the Ginan of Mira Sayyid Khan, in which he says, Eji didari hove so esa chahave, sahib ji ko chhod kar aur ko na diyave. Didari hove so dil bandhe, nita nita adka neh dare. Ek man hokar naam leve, piyu ka darshan so kare ji. These are so touching, these words. So let's take them sentence by sentence. Didari hove so esa chahave. A person who receives this didar should be such, sahib ji ko chhod kar aur ko na diyave. He or she should be such a mu'min that for them the Imam is everything. He is wa kulla shayin aswaynahu fi imami mubin. They should not look to any other for any guidance, for any knowledge. Their complete and absolute and total focus should be the Imam and the Imam's nur and the Imam's knowledge. Didari hoye so dil bande. The didari, the one who has had didar, should bind his heart, to and to the Imam's Noor, and Nita Nita Adhaka Nehadare. And as the days pass, this relationship should become, the relationship of love should become stronger and stronger. Ekaman Hokar Namaleve. He or she should, with total and absolute concentration, take the name of the Imam with single-mindedness and total concentration. Piyu ka darshan sokareji. This is how the beloved's didar, the beloved's beatific vision, is achieved. And I think this verse really summarizes for us the way we should be during the didar. The story of Sayyidina Al-Mu'ayyad Fiddin Shirazi tells us that we should be, we should pray that we too are overwhelmed by the awe and presence and the Nuraniyat of the Imam. The story of Khaja demonstrates that we should not be like those people who were more interested in the physical nature of the Imam. And taking the advice of our peers and Sayyids, we should turn to the true essence of the Imam, to his Noor, to his guidance. And in this way, inshallah, we will be blessed with a didar we shall never forget, a didar which will encourage us to make greater progress spiritually and intellectually during our lifetimes on this earth, and that when we finally leave these bodies, that our souls will merge in the light of the Imam and be blessed with Nurani Didar forever. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Let us recite salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.